To talk more about the Summer Showdown and what news broke this morning, joining us now is Sportsnet's very own Ian McIntyre. And Ian, thank you for giving us some time this afternoon in the middle of lunchtime, of all places. But,
well, it's not the missing lunch I'm worried about. I'm missing a heck of a World Cup game, but
it's truth.
Worth it. So.
Truth. Aww. I was hoping that Brazil wouldn't find the end of the road here to the journey to the final. Looks like they've put up a little bit of a fight now.
It's a wonderful game. The field is just packed with world-class players. I think these are the best two teams left in the tournament.
Agreed.
That's just me.
Agreed.
Now, Ian, has Neymar been standing up on the field, or has he just been rolling the
entire
80
well,
minutes?
I could tell he was legitimately fouled about 10 minutes ago on a run because he didn't scream and he didn't roll around. So that's when you know it's real. Every time his mouth is open and he has the energy to start doing barrel rolls on the ground, it means he's not. It may have been touched, but isn't really hurt. So he has been a non-factor in this game,
which is
interesting because a guy that some people include in discussions of the best players in the world, and I'm not a part of that crowd, but a stage like this, a moment like this, if he's one of the best in the world, he should stand out. And now he's probably going to score the tying goal.
Right.
Now that I've said it. You can break into coverage with an update when he does that, just to make
will do, will do. And I know you and I, Ian, we had some fun earlier this week looking at a video of the Neymar family reunion and having a few laughs at, of course, his expense, a bunch of people rolling down a hill, basically, is what it turned out to be. Ian, the reason we have you on here is not to be a soccer analyst, although you're doing a great job of it.
Well, thank you.
Talk about the Summer Showdown and the prospects that stood out to you. I know some Canucks fans are feeling a little disappointed in Quinn Hughes' performance last night, but should they be?
Well, I don't. That's a bit of a loaded question because people, and I don't think it's our market alone, so I'm not just saying
true
Vancouver fans, but you knew that it was one way or another he was going to get judged hugely on what essentially is a scrimmage at a orientation camp. It would have been impressive maybe to see a little more. I thought he was good when it was 3-on-3, but that's not real hockey. That's 5 minutes a game, and usually less. I thought he was fine. I thought I think that he is still not close to 100%, having had food poisoning last weekend and essentially being in bed or in the bathroom for 2 days. And so I think that was still affecting him, but I thought he had some good moments with the puck. You could see sort of the vision and creativity that he possesses. You know, there was one play in the third period where it was 3-on-3, and he kind of cut across the slot in the offensive zone, put the puck through a guy's legs, retrieved it on the other side, and then threw a blind backhand pass with pace that was actually looked like it was going to connect with a guy who had been overlapping behind him. You know, that's instinct and hockey sense. That's not a play that you could ever teach somebody to make. So I think he is going to be a special player. I'm not too worried about how he looked in the scrimmage in July, and I would only say as maybe some evidence or to try and back up my argument that people shouldn't make too much of events like this. They shouldn't make too much of this Hockey Canada showcase tournament that's going to be on in Kamloops at the end of this month. Is last year at the Prospects Tournament in Penticton, Brock Besser was very quiet. He was actually invisible in a couple of the games. They had some moments, and there was the discussion that we're having right now, and look at the season he went on to have. So
very well said,
We're talking with Ian McIntyre, Sportsnet's own Ian McIntyre here on Sportsnet 650. And Ian, you make a good point. I mean, it's a scrimmage, people. Let's calm down. And the young man was sick and said he lost close to 6 pounds. But one of the young guys that probably doesn't weigh much more than Quinn Hughes is Tyler Madden. And I thought that he stood out and had a real good game scrimmage yesterday, especially in the first period. What did you make of him?
Yeah, he's a player, and I don't pretend to know these guys other than what I've been able to read and research. You see some highlights on YouTube. If you're really lucky, you catch a game when they're playing junior or an under 18. There was a question about how well he skated, and he's going to have to skate really well at his size. He's going to have to be elusive. And his dad, John Madden, was a great skater as well. But there were some questions about Tyler Madden's skate. I thought he moved around the ice really well last night. I thought he was more offensive than maybe I expected. And again, that's probably because my opinion of him is colored a little bit by how his dad played. His dad was one of the great defensive forwards in the league. But I thought he looked very good. I thought Petrus Palmu was excellent, as he should be at that age. I thought Cole Lind looked really good, and I thought DiPietro had some great saves. Other times DiPietro didn't look very good, but he certainly made a couple of big stops. So more good than bad, I think, out of last night.
And I think one of the highlights for me was seeing the good players on the ice last night were in the Canucks system for the most part. So I think that you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Would you agree, Ian?
Well, they've never had this many prospects. And I mean that literally in their, trying to do the math in my head, 48 years, I guess. In 48 years, they've never had this many good prospects at one time. They've had, obviously, plenty of good prospects over the years, but never a group this deep. And keep in mind, you know, Pettersson and Ylevi recovering from injuries. Well, Pettersson wouldn't be part of this anyways. Mm-hmm. And probably Ylevi wouldn't, having played the full year in Finland last year. But these are guys that weren't in this prospects camp and yet are among the best prospects on the team, obviously. So, yes, there's never been this many good players on the way. But, you know, on the way is one thing and actually in the NHL is another. And so far, Horvat, who preceded this group, you know, he was a Mike Gillis draft pick, mm-hmm. but got into the NHL under this regime. You know, he was the first. Brock Besser's the second, and now we need to see a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth. And hopefully this year, Pettersson will make the team and Gaudette will make the team and they'll show that they're NHL players and maybe Pettersson shows a lot more than that. But, you know, we need to get to that next stage or the Canucks need to get to that next mm-hmm. stage
yeah.
where, you know, it's not just theoretical, you know, that
right.
in practice, in reality, you have good young players in the NHL. So I think they're in good shape that way. I know they're in good shape that
right.
way.
Right. And after speaking with Ryan Johnson, you could tell he was genuinely excited to have a little bit of push now from the bottom of the depth chart where the young guys are going to be making a name and a point that they should be considered for the big job. Now, one forward, Ian, that really stood out last night to a lot of people, and I'm sure you included, Petrus Palmu. And having spent the past season playing professionally again in Finland, Was it clear to you at least that, you know, he had that 1 year step up on everyone else because he was that further along in his personal development?
Well, really, he had more than 1 year step up because he was an older draft pick to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was 20 when he was picked and went and played in a very good Finnish La Liga. Not La Liga, that's soccer.
SM Liga.
You're back on soccer.
SM Liga, thank you. The SM Liga. What is La Liga? Is that Spain? That's Spanish soccer, I think.
I think so.
I digress, but yeah, he looks like a guy. He's a more polished player, and that's what you expect from someone who's in his early 20s
mm-hmm.
and has played professional hockey. He was a really interesting draft pick the moment the Canucks called his name because of his size, that they're, you know, that they believe in somebody who's, you know, 5'6", 5'7". And just about as wide, but certainly can skate. He's not a plug on the ice. And has only become, to me, he's only become more interesting since his draft because he did have a really good year. You know, maybe the numbers aren't eye-popping, especially if you're comparing him to somebody like Elias Pettersson, who was playing next door.
Mm-hmm.
But had a very good year in the Finnish league, which is a respected good league, and now he's going to have a chance to play for the Utica Comets, and we'll see what he does on North American ice, but he played junior over here, so I don't expect that's going to be a huge transition for him. He's one of those guys that if as an organization, you want to get to the point where you're not just looking at, say, two prospects and, oh, these two guys have to make it, and then after that you can't name another two that you think. He's the kind of guy you have to have in the pipeline for depth, where you have, you know, three or four or five of those types of players, and no one of them is expected to make it, but collectively, you know, if one or two do, then your team's that much stronger. So that's the kind of depth, and to me, Palmu is a reflection of the depth that they're building here in their prospect pool, because he's not, if you did a list, he's certainly not in your top six or seven prospects.
Right.
Maybe he's not even in the top 10, but you see him play last night, and obviously has some ability, and he has a chance to end up being an NHL player.
I agree with you. And one other player who was probably not in the top 10, at least not yet, but made a case for himself that maybe he should be considered, defenseman Jack Rathbone, who was such a mystery over the past season playing in Prep League and in the USHS. What did you take away from Rathbone's performance last night?
Well, I thought, last night he was okay, but for the week, to me, if you watched the practices, for the week, he was one of the most impressive guys. And again, maybe because, you know, he comes here and he's a name, and that's really all he is. You know, he's the offensive defenseman out of high school that the Canucks drafted mid-round, and as you say, kind of played in obscurity last year because he chose to stay close to home. He's got a special needs brother, and it was important for him to spend another year at home, so he delayed his entry to Harvard. You know, most people, if you have a chance to go play hockey at Harvard, I think I'm going.
Yeah.
But he actually put college on hold another year. To me, when you watch him play, he's got some of a lot of the attributes that Quinn Hughes has. You know, he's a smaller guy, great with the puck, I'm not sure that he has the same vision or hockey IQ that Quinn Hughes is supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
But he certainly is competitive as well. He's got kind of that Troy Stetcher type fight in him, whether it's one-on-one battles, whether it's just trying to win a game. He has an edginess to him. So he's another guy, you know, having just talked about Petrus Palmu and the type of prospects you need to reflect depth, you know, Jack Rathbone is the same way for the defenseman. You know, he's not a guy that anyone, based on where he's drafted, should say this guy's going to be an NHL player, but he obviously has a lot of ability. He's got a lot of growing room as well and development time, and he could be an NHL player. And that when you're getting people in the middle and at the back of the draft who a year or two after their draft look like, yeah, they could be an NHL player, then you've succeeded. And then you just need to get enough of them to guarantee yourself that some of those guys are going to graduate to the NHL.
Yeah, and Jack Rathbone, I can't wait to see his NCAA tape because of how exciting he is to me personally. That skating, you're right, is just it is something very, very exciting with a bit of upside there. Ian, we got just a quick minute here before we got to let the Reach Deep show take
yes.
over, but want to get your thoughts on, of course, Alex Burrows and the years you've spent covering this team. His sentimental value to this city and to this fan base is it's incredible, of course. What is a standout memory you have when dealing with the hockey player and also the human being that is Alex Burrows?
Well, he was just a warrior as a player, and that's a term that gets used a lot in hockey, but he was so incredibly dedicated to his team and his teammates in doing literally anything he could to help. And in doing anything he could, sometimes he did more than he should have. And people who view Alex Burrows from outside the organization, they remember those things. But I can tell you that there wasn't a teammate that didn't love him, didn't love having him play on their behalf for them rather than against them, and is one of the great Canucks of this era. Obviously not in the conversation with the Sedins
right.
or Luongo or even Ryan Kessler, who, you know, won a Selke trophy. But
that's right.
A guy, when you're talking about building a team and guys that you need night in and night out to battle for you, you couldn't find a better example than Alex Burrows. I mean, he was close to quitting hockey when he was in the East Coast League. Mm-hmm. And when he made the Manitoba Moose, he thought he had made it as a player. To him, that was his big achievement, that he'd finally got out of the ECHL and had an AHL contract. And that's all he had, an AHL contract.
Right.
He had to earn his NHL component later on. But it's a guy who played every day in the NHL like he never forgot any of the days that he had to play in the ECHL.
Humble beginnings, yes. And a guy who earned everything.
Absolutely.
To his credit. So appreciate you getting your thoughts on about Alex Burrows, who after 13 seasons retired from the game this morning. Ian, thank you as always. We appreciate your hard work and brilliance, and you can now, I guess, catch up on the results of the particular FIFA World Cup game.
It's over.
2-1. Yes, it is. Spoiler alert, but yes, it is. Ian, appreciate your time here today.
Sportsnet 650.